We're going to spend some time in God's Word, which is just always wonderful for us to do. And we just have a lovely fellowship with one another in walking God's Word together. It's just a great to be a part of a household. And this morning I'd like to share a little bit about basking in God's goodness. Basking in God's goodness. And basking in the sense of enjoying that which is pleasant. Like in the beginning of the spring when you have your first warm day and the sun's out and you're out, you go outside and you ignore that sunshine. Just like, love it. And that's that basking, where we just bask in the sunshine. And for us to bask in God's goodness. I have a little picture here of my grandchildren. It was from last summer. They are basking in the fun of the pool and eating ice cream cones. And they've got some smiles on their face. And Hunter's got mostly a brown face from the chocolate. That was a hot day, and evidently it melted quickly. I was trying to get in there fast. So, but it's a great picture. Just in my heart, it illustrated kids just basking in the fun of ice cream and Grammy's pool. And so it kind of is a nice picture. So we're going to go to Psalm 107. We can and we do enjoy a life of basking in God's goodness. That's for sure. We have the privilege of knowing that God is a good God. Not everybody knows that. There are a lot of people who have no idea what God is like. Some of them could care less. And other people want to know God, but really don't. And they don't know what he's like. But one thing we have been taught and seen in God's Word is that he is a good God, and he extends his goodness to his people. Really to all people, but the ones that really benefit are God's people. Psalm 107, and we're going to, we're not going to read the whole psalm, but it's a great psalm showing how God takes care of people. He took care of the children of Israel, and just his great goodness. But there are some verses I'd like to look at. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." And it goes on in verse 8. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 9, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." That's a great thing. Fills the hungry soul with goodness. Verse 15, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Verse 31, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." This guy's got a real memory problem. No, he just realizes that God is really good, and it's a great thing to praise God about. Verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. And the word loving kindness there is the same Hebrew word for the word goodness in verse 31 and the previous verses, except for verse 1. You know, the wise person will understand God's great goodness because the person's looking at God and his word. Let's go to Exodus chapter 34. Moses had an incredible experience with God when he was endeavoring to help Israel. And God made a deal with Moses that he was going to show himself to him, but only his back parts. And he had him walk by, or he walked by Moses, and he held his face, so his hand, so to speak, in front of Moses until he walked past him. And all he saw was the backside of God. Whatever the figure of speeches are in it, I have no idea. All I know is that as good of a shot as he got, he only got a glimpse of what God is all about. And in verse 6, it's God speaking to Moses as he's walked by. It says, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth.'" And that's what he showed Moses. Boy, that must have been a day for him to see that. Let's go to Psalm 21. Abundant in goodness and truth. Psalm 21. So we're just going to go through some different psalms and look at God's goodness to his people, or to people, not restricted just to God's people. Psalm 21, verse 1. "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and has not withholden the request of his lips." And that's pretty good. "For thou preventest or precedest him with the blessings of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. He asked life of thee, and thou refused it." No. He asked life, you gave it to him. "Even length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. For thou hast made him more blessed forever, or most blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance." Psalm 23, verse 6. This is the famous Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is my shepherd. The last verse is, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me," how many days? All the days, every day of his life. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Psalm 25, verse 7. "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions," which is really a wonderful thing. Somebody doesn't keep reminding you of what you did wrong 20,000 years ago, or even yesterday. It's a great way of living to not do that, to follow God's lead here. "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." What a request. Psalm 31, verse 19. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee," or respect thee, or have an awe for thee, "which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." I'm going to read that again. "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought or worked for them that trust in thee before the sons of men." Great truth. Psalm 33, verse 5. "He loveth righteousness and judgment. Their earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." It's full of it. It's all over the place. All you have to do is look, acknowledge. But it is full of God's goodness. Full. Psalm 65. Verse 4. "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. We shall be satisfied. 73. Psalm 73, verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. He's just good. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Not one good thing. Amazing. 145, Psalm 145. This is another psalm that is loaded with what God has done for people. But we're going to just look at a couple verses. Verse 7. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. His works are loaded. It's just, it's like you have a, I don't know, you have a, say, a bowl of vanilla ice cream, and if you like chocolate syrup, you take that chocolate syrup and pour it all over the top. Well, he has poured all over the top of his works, his tender mercies. Just loaded it up for us to enjoy. And this is just the tip of the iceberg of what we understand. When we get in heaven and we're living eternity without an old man nature and without a devil that's actively involved with beating people up or trying to, how much greater are we going to see God's goodness and acknowledge it? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in our lives that we don't even know God is so good to us. We just kind of, I guess, oblivion to it. But it doesn't have to be that way. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. So it's the next book over. To the right. Chapter 2. Ecclesiastes gives a lot of revealing of the wisdom of Solomon and his observations in life. And in verse 24, well, it was interesting, it says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Just to enjoy the fruits of your labor. A couple years ago, I was reading a little bit on Martin Luther. Just wanted to get a little bit more sense of his life. It was the 500th anniversary of him nailing the 99 Theses on the door. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I read was that when he was older, so many people, you know, we know he started the Reformation, and so many people had taken what had the groundwork of a lot of the knowledge of God's Word and were really moving with it. And in his later years, he spent most of his time eating and drinking and spending time with his wife and his children. Because most of his years, he was a bachelor, because he was a priest. And then he realized from God's word, I don't have to be single. So he married a nun who thought the same way. And they had 6 or 8 kids. Wow. And I thought, well, look at that. You know, he got such a sense of God's will and word and goodness. He felt okay with just enjoying the simple things of life. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. I'm going to... his wife had a brewery, so he probably drank some beer, you know. His wife's family had a brewery, and she inherited it, and beer brewery. So, anyway, just a little side note. let's go to Exodus chapter 18. Exodus 18. This is... right after Israel left Egypt, and great things which we're aware of, and we went through a few weeks back about what God did for them. And Moses' father-in-law, his name was Jethro, came to visit them when they were in the wilderness. They just got in there. And in 18, verse 8, it says, "And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done unto Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the travail that had come upon them by the way, and how the Lord delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians." He rejoiced at hearing about God's goodness on their lives. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy chapter 20. We should rejoice in God's goodness to us, and he wants us to rejoice in that goodness. Chapter 26, verse 11. 26. Did I? I said 20. It looks like a zero, but it's really a six on my paper. So we're going to 26. And verse 11. "And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you." 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Over a few more books, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, right after 1 Chronicles. And this is a record of the dedication of the temple. And Solomon was heading up this dedication. As you know, God showed David about it, or David had a desire to build the temple, and he collected all the materials for it. And God had told them, "You won't build it, your son will build it." And so it got built, and they're having a dedication, and it's a great chapter to read. It's Solomon in prayer, just requesting that whatever prayers were heard in that temple, that God would hear them and answer them, whatever it was. If a guy was all screwed up and the guy came there and said, "God, I need to be forgiven," that God would hear him. And it's all different circumstances, and it's just this request. And all the believers were there, and it was just had to be an incredible time of a dedication. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 40, the very end of it. It says, "Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord, be clothed with salvation or wholeness, and let thy saints rejoice in thy goodness. O Lord, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant." And when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. What an answer to his prayer. And when there are sacrifices in the Old Testament, the person wasn't supposed to light the fire for the sacrifice. They called it, it's called a strange fire, when you light it yourself. Like if I have a fire in my fireplace, I'm the guy lighting the fire. But when it was a sacrifice dedicated to God, God's fire came down from heaven and consumed it. And what a sight this must have been. They're beseeching God that here's a place where people can come to talk to you and request of you, "Please have your ears attentive." And God answers with that fire. Whoosh. And he's saying, "I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that for the goodness of my people." And then he filled the house with his glory. Man, I always said the temple's got to be the most incredible building ever built, both of them, because it was built by God's direction. The materials were gathered by believers. The place was built by believers. And it's the only building that God filled his glory with. What other building is there on this earth that God filled his glory in it? Just must have been an amazing place. Verse 2, and the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Just incredible. Verse 10. And on the three, and so they end up doing a 7-day feast. And they're just rejoicing in God's goodness, etc., of what had just happened. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. Verse 14. And then here's an answer God appeared to Solomon shortly after that, and he tells him some things, and one part of it is, verse 14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Just incredible. Really wonderful. Nehemiah chapter 9. God's great goodness. Nehemiah chapter 9. And we're going to look at verse 24. So the children went in and possessed the land. This is in reference to the children of Israel coming into the promised land. The children went in and possessed the land, and thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land and the Canaanites, and gavest them into their hands, which are with their kings, and the people of the land, that they might do with them as they would. And they took strong cities and a fat land, and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat, and were filled, and became fat, fat and delighted, not fat physically, but just full, so to speak, fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Nevertheless, they were disobedient. The way it is. And lastly, we're going to Jeremiah chapter 31. They were fat and delighted in God's goodness. What a description of a way to live. Jeremiah 31. Verse 10. Now this is after... we know that Israel ended up being carried away to Babylon, and unbelievers took them away, and they were in captivity. And this is afterwards, coming back, being restored. Verse 10, hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. When they were in captivity, I'm sure they didn't have lots of food to eat to their full, say, you know, to their satisfying, and olive yards in their yards and vineyards and all kinds of things. I don't think it was quite that way. There's a translation from the New International Version I'd like to read of that verse 14 that says, just think it's a little more clear. They will come and shout for joy on the heights of Zion. And these are people who have returned from captivity, who are returning. They're going to shout for joy on the heights of Zion. They will rejoice in the bounty of the Lord, the grain, the new wine, and the olive oil. The young of the flocks and herds, they will be like a well-watered garden, and they will sorrow no more. Just a great mind picture of people who got the effects of the goodness of God. We're on the receiving end of the goodness of the Lord. And we're also on the receiving end of the goodness of the Lord. So we really are. We are on the receiving end. And we should just bask in it and say, this is just nice. Yes, there is a devil, and yes, we live in a world, and yes, there are problems, and yes, there's all, you know, what do you want to look at? You know, what do you want to look at? But the earth is full of his goodness. Full of his goodness. Just wonderful. And part of that goodness is what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished. You know, all that he accomplished for our lives. And we again are on the receiving end of that. 1 Peter 2:24 talks about we have righteousness because of what Jesus Christ did. You know, by his stripes we were healed. We are righteous or just in God's sight because of Jesus Christ's accomplishments. We don't have to sacrifice doves and other things, and you know, to get right before God like they had to in the Old Testament. It was the best that was available in the Old Testament, but then Jesus Christ made it a lot easier. And by his beatings, we were healed. And God makes healing available to us. And it's just a wonderful thing.